Excitement comes with butterflies in your stomach. Your heart rate might be beating fast. You might have like this buzzing sensation in your fingers. Just you're so excited. Those are all interoception sensations. And if you have a neurodivergent child who is either sensitive to those sensations, or they experience it more intensely, or they aren't even aware of what those are, but their body is just doing this extreme sensation inside of them, they might have a hard time with big feelings like excitement and being surprised by a gift.
Welcome to the SensoryWise Solutions podcast for parents, where parents can get real, actionable strategies to support kids with sensory processing disorder. I'm Laura, OT and mom to Liliana, a sensory sensitive kid who inherited my anxiety and my love for all things Disney. Consider me your new OT mom bestie. I know my stuff, but I also know what it's really like in the trenches of parenting a child with sensory processing disorder.
Okay, Mom, enough about me. Let's start the podcast.
All right, welcome back to the podcast. Today's is a little bit short of a podcast, but it is very heavy on just practical, actionable tips. This is more of an episode for me as I list out things that I would do different from based off of mistakes that I made last holiday season. If you want more tips on just how to think about the holiday season and how to better support and accommodate your SPD child through the holiday season as a whole, how to prep for holiday parties, how to think about unstructured time when your kid is out of school, then head back to episode 14. I'll put a link of it in the show notes. You can go to theotbutterfly.com/14 to check that out. So this episode is all about things that I'm going to be doing differently for this holiday season, whether you are celebrating Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, any holiday season that you are going to partake in that involves gift giving. That is really where I learned a lot of my mistakes from last season and even birthdays. So this is just a note for future self and anyone out there who's listening who needs these reminders. If you had a hard time with gifts, there's a reason. Okay. First of all, gifts are meant to be a surprise. They're sometimes a surprise when you get them, sometimes you expect them, but the idea of unwrapping a gift and not knowing what's underneath that comes with a whole element of surprise and excitement. But again, considering we have neurodivergent children who may have interoception challenges, meaning they have a hard time interpreting the sensations that they're feeling inside their body, which are linked to emotions. So excitement comes with butterflies in your stomach. Your heart rate might be beating fast. You might have like this buzzing sensation in your fingers. Just you're so excited. Those are all interoception sensations. And if you have a neurodivergent child who is either sensitive to those sensations, or they experience it more intensely, or they aren't even aware of what those are, but their body is just doing this extreme sensation inside of them, they might have a hard time with big feelings like excitement and being surprised by a gift. So that element of gift giving around the holidays can come with a lot of meltdowns and behaviors, which are so hard for us parents and caregivers to witness and tolerate, because we just spent all this money buying you XYZ toy and you're asking this or you're complaining about that. It's really hard. So anyway, that's my preface. I'm going to start the episode now. These are things that I would do differently this year, this holiday season around gifts. So first and foremost, I started this around her birthday this year. I did this actually. I did not wrap a single gift for her birthday. There were some gifts that came from loved ones, family members that were wrapped, but the gifts that she woke up to on her birthday morning and that she will on Christmas morning, whether it's from Santa or from my husband and I, will not be wrapped. And this is the extra layer. They will have batteries included. If it is a battery operated toy, they will be assembled. If it's a toy that requires assembly, I don't care about the box. I don't care about the wrapping. It is going to be unwrapped again to take away that element of surprise and anticipation. Even if it is the toy that she wanted and she asked for, if she unwraps it and she wasn't thinking it was going to be that toy, sometimes her reaction is just something that is not expected from anybody. So it's enough of an excitement to wake up on Christmas morning and run down and see the toys by the tree. That's what I'm doing this year, especially for Santa's gifts, and for the ones from my husband and I. The ones that get sent from family members, here's how I'm going to approach that. If you're like my family, we have a Filipino family. There are a lot of aunts and uncles and cousins and gifts from all around that want to spoil your child. That's great. They come to us at different times in the season. Sometimes they'll like mail it to us like 2 weeks in advance. Sometimes someone will drop it off and we'll kind of just start accumulating gifts at random times throughout the month of like December. I don't wait until Christmas morning or Christmas Eve for her to open them. I let her open them, maybe not right when we get them, but like it's a steady stream. Like maybe she'll open a couple a few days before Christmas and then maybe one present like a few weeks before Christmas. The reason why I do this is for two reasons. One is for her, again, because if she opened this all at once, I can guarantee a chance of a meltdown just from the excitement and the sensory overload and the overstimulation. So this helps manage that. So there's less presents for her to open at one time. And another thing for her is that so she will be able to actually spend time with each toy and not forget that she had one. I remember as a kid opening like 20 presents on Christmas morning and months later forgot one of the toys that I had opened and never touched because there was just so many. So it ends up being a waste of money for whoever bought it for you. So those are the two reasons for her. The last reason is for me and my husband. When they're out of school, there's only so much screen time you can have with your kid. I have a kid who doesn't love screen time in excess. Like she will watch probably like if I let her watch TV the whole day, she would turn it off at some point and be like, I'm bored. Let me do something else. Also, you need to have different things throughout like the 2 weeks. We have like 3 weeks off of school because we're a year on school. So having her have new toys to play with and explore and spend her time with is a win for me and gets me through one extra hour, maybe a few hours in a day and closer to the next day of holiday vacation. Another thing that I'm going to do specific to loved ones and caregivers giving her gifts is I am going to highly stress to them. For us, clothing is a big issue. Even if I give you the right size that she is and the things that she's into, I cannot guarantee that she's going to like what you get her and that she's going to wear it. And I'm not going to force her to wear it just because you bought it for her. So buy it at your own risk. I would rather you give us gift cards to Old Navy or the clothing store that you were going to purchase the clothes from. That will actually not save you money because you would probably still give the money in a certain way, but at least ensure that whatever money you contribute towards a gift will actually be used because we are in this season of clothes right now. Even I can't accurately predict what clothes she's going to like unless she actually is physically there to try it on. And even then it's a 50-50 chance, especially shoes. So make note of the things that you might know your child might have a hard time with and advise the gift givers in your child's life of those things. And here's my last reminder to future Laura, who needs to come back and listen to this episode right around mid-December. And reminder to anyone else out there who has had some less than ideal holiday experiences with your children in the past. My daughter's Christmas and holidays are not going to look the same as mine was as a child. Depending on who you are and what background you have and how you grew up, you might have a very fond, magical, special memories around the holidays. You might have some triggering, not so great memories of holidays growing up. Whatever the case may be, no, it's not going to be the same for your child, no matter what. So that might be good for you. It might not be what you want. For me, I grew up loving Christmas and loving the holiday season and everything about it. And it still gets me very excited and feeling nostalgic when I see certain pictures of Christmas or hear the music and see the decorations and all of that. And it's really hard not to tie those memories and experiences to my daughter and feel pressure to one, recreate it, and then feel resentment when she doesn't react the way that I did, because she's a completely different child and we're in a completely different time in the world and in our lives. And she doesn't have cousins like I had cousins. There's so many things that are different. And if that means a lot to you, you really need to sit with that and process that and go into the holiday season not having all of those really grand expectations, or you are going to be let down. Let your child have their own experience, make their own memories for your family, and use some of these tips to hopefully make it a little bit more tolerable and less stressful for all. Because at the end of the day, yes, holidays seasons are a lot for the kids, but if what we're doing for the kids is making them more dysregulated, and then that comes back to us and we like are miserable, then that doesn't help anybody either. So remember that things that you offer your child, strategies, accommodations, things that you decide to do that work best for your family, need to work for the whole family, including yourself. You don't need to keep sacrificing your happiness, your rest, your relaxation for your child. It needs to work for the whole family. Now, here's one that I hope someone in my family is listening to this episode. I'm not going to be that out there and actually send her this episode or send them this episode. But this is one where I am going to be talking to family members and reminding them of things that are important to me as a parent and things that I don't want my child to participate in or believe in, which is the notion of if you're bad, you're not going to get any gifts, or Santa's watching and he's not going to give you things, you know, those fake calls to Santa when your child is acting up. I used to do that when she was a baby, when she was like one or two and I didn't know any better. I am still choosing to offer her the opportunity to believe in Santa, and we still talk about Santa. That's a choice that our family makes, and it's something that I don't have a problem with. I know some families have a problem with talking about Santa and what that means. That's fine. But whatever it is, I am making sure that family members around me don't use Santa against her, or just the idea that they're going to withhold gifts or give her a lump of coal if she doesn't do XYZ. That is not how I choose to parent. That's not how I choose to have my daughter understand behaviors and her regulation and things that she's able to do and not able to do. So if you want more help on how to start the conversation with family members or friends where you're going to visit their house or go to a holiday party with them, and you want to preemptively set a boundary about how they talk about things in front of your child, I'm going to link an Instagram video where I highlight this and like some quick, easy steps. And then you can even screenshot a template script that you could send in a text to someone or send them an email or something. So that's in the show notes. Definitely check that out. All right. So that was it. A short and sweet episode, but a lot of really helpful tips, especially if you have a neurodivergent kid. Stay regulated out there. We got this. I'll see you on the other side.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider rating it and leaving a review, which helps other parents find me as well. Want to learn more from me? I share tons more over on Instagram @TheOTButterfly. See you next time.